Oh, shit. Oh, shit. It's going off now.
Highway Diaries. What's going on, motherfuckers? I'm your host, Eric Kollebach. Joining me, Emilio Rosal.
Hi.
I met this motherfucker at Liquid Zoo or Flappers?
You called me a dirty word. Yeah, we met at, I think we met at Flappers, or at least saw each other at Flappers, and then maybe made it official at Liquid Zoo.
We made the fact that we knew each other official.
I think, like, you know, we consummated with a very erotic handshake.
And then we saw each other again at, the Amsterdam Cafe.
That's right, yes.
And we're like, hey, now we know each other.
Now we
know. You know, it's like we both started January 2013, the part of the 2013 class of New Year's Eve crowd.
I like to think we started at the exact same time, same day.
Yeah.
Same place.
It is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we're doing the stand-up thing, trying to make it in this crazy town.
Yeah, and, you know, we're of the few that have not gone through the filter yet.
Yeah.
We're still stuck doing it.
We're still stuck trying to do open mics, and then we'll get, like, one place, like, one spot at Flappers, and that's really fucking important.
Yeah.
You want to kill those spots at Flappers so they move you up. It's a pretty legit club, you know?
Yeah, I like Flappers a lot. Someone told me, you know, because I had, like, sort of a false start in comedy, like, mm-hmm. maybe, like, a year and a half ago, where mm-hmm. I did it once, and the very first place I ever went to was Flappers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did it maybe two or three more times. I went to, like, Ha Ha a couple times, but never did it, like full on until the beginning of this year.
Mm-hmm.
But someone told me at the Ha Ha, they were like, you know, you should choose a place to be, like, your home base.
Mm-hmm.
And originally I thought, okay, I guess I can make Ha Ha my home base, but Ha Ha is, you know, kind of questionable at best.
You have to buy your time, like $5 for 5 minutes.
Right.
And then everyone's done that, so you're with a bunch of people who you're watching dream shatter in front of their eyes as they take turns bombing.
Yeah.
Having spent money to go up on stage.
And the sadder than the fact that you just spent $5 for 5 minutes is you go up into the Ha Ha open mic and there's like literally two people in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, most places there's only like four or five people, maybe sometimes at the lowest. And there's just a bunch of other comics waiting their turn. But at the Ha Ha, the other comics are just, like, out in, like, the lobby area or outside smoking or some shit just waiting to get called. I'm like, motherfucker, come inside and support.
Yeah, yeah. If you're gonna... I mean, it is tough because a lot of times you want to make, like, three mics in a night or two mics in a night so you can't stay and watch the whole show, especially if you're on first.
Right.
But you should stick around for a little bit and watch some other people a little bit, you know?
Yeah, especially if it's the very beginning of the show. I think etiquette would suggest...
Yeah.
Be there.
Yeah.
Just because you're not up doesn't mean, you know.
A big pet peeve of mine also is open micers that talk about their crippling depression. Do you have any crippling depression jokes?
Not really. I have a joke that kind of ends. It's talking about the girth of my dick.
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds like a party joke.
And it kind of ends with me talking about the possibility of getting on antidepressants, but it's very brief. It's not about my career.
Right. I think people, like comics who just dwell on and on about, so I didn't get out of my closet for 3 days. I was so depressed. It's like, you're bumming me out. Aren't you supposed to be a fucking comedian?
Right.
So many guys get up there and they're like, oh, so... It's like, you want to burden other people with this bullshit? See a fucking therapist. Talk to a friend. These aren't jokes.
Well, like,
I want jokes now. I'm bummed out. I spent $5 for my fucking 5 minutes. I want someone to make me giggle and say something weird.
Yeah, like, I can see that. I mean, like, Richard Lewis perfected that, I think, right? He was the guy. Or maybe Woody Allen before him. But
yeah.
Richard Lewis really kind of took it into probably the depths of the darkest parts of his soul.
It's also jokes.
But yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Make it funny.
That's what I was going to say. He's really fucking funny.
Yeah.
And there's a dude at Flappers in Burbank, Josh Schneider.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He hosts a lot of the shows. And he's kind of that ilk. He's kind of that depressed Jew.
Josh Schneider, he's like, gets up there and it's like, oh, I'm a 31-year-old virgin, people. 31
yeah.
I'm actually angry at the crowd. Because he's told that in front of hundreds and hundreds of women, who none of which went, you know what? I'll fuck you.
Oh, my God.
If it'll make you shut the fuck up with your nebbishiness.
Throw him a fucking pity pussy.
God damn
somebody it. You know what? Sometimes I question the validity of how much of a virgin he is. Because he's not a bad-looking dude.
He
kind of looks like the skeleton of Adam Sandler.
He kind of looks like... That's true.
I filled myself with glee with that one.
Yeah.
No, but
he does
he's
look
not...
like Bert or something from, like, he looks like a Muppet.
He does kind of look like a Muppet. He's kind of floppy. Yeah, he's yeah. And he wears clothes that are, like, three sizes too big a little bit, so he's kind of... But he's not a bad-looking guy. Somebody, anybody could have fucked that guy already. Somebody must have fucked him by now.
And, you know, Richard Lewis, Josh Schneider, both complaining, both Jewish, coincidence, make up your own mind.
But the thing about the other thing about open micers that bothers me a lot is, like, complaining about... You're at an open mic and no one's laughing at your shit.
Yeah.
It's an open mic.
Yeah. Just after every joke that you just see their insecurity by their just constantly referencing the situation.
Yeah. They're like, oh, wow, tough room.
It's and like, it's like, I don't know. I like jokes that where people, I think you should talk about the mood of the room, but then make it into something fun. Right. Make it, it's your job to turn it into a party.
Yeah. Just bitching about it isn't funny.
Yeah. It's, bitching about it isn't funny.
It's stupid. It bums us all out.
So, like, celebrate it in a weird way, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, like, I just did the Uncle Clyde's comedy contest at Flappers yesterday.
Yeah.
And one of the competing comedians, for her setups to the jokes, every time she'd say anything, she'd be like, oh, so y'all don't blah, 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 fill in the blank.
Right.
And it was just like, bitch, you haven't said anything yet.
Yeah.
She wasn't complaining about no one laughing at the punchline. It was just like, one of the things was like, so I'm single now, and nothing.
She's expecting, like, she's...
Woo! She wanted woos, right?
Yeah, you watch the fucking Black Women of Comedy or whatever, and you're like, that gets a woo? Okay.
Right, but it's like...
When I say I'm single, boo, 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 cha, boo, you give me a clap and a clap.
But
not everyone's crazy and black.
Monique and Samore or whatever are people know who they are. They give a shit if those people are single.
It's a fucking open mic. Make a party happen.
And it wasn't an open mic. It was a competition. But still, it's
like.
You know, it's like one step above an open mic. But still, it's like, so she's like, so I'm single. Nobody wooed, and she's like, oh, so nobody here is gonna celebrate the fact that I'm single. It's like, bitch, tell your jokes.
Yeah.
Tell your fucking jokes, and then we'll see if we celebrate something.
I have some moments where I talk about Hitler stuff where, you know, I start saying Hitler jokes where I, like, you know, agree with Hitler about a bunch of stuff. And yeah. I can tell the room go dead, like the air just gets sucked out of the room sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I always, you know, go, let's hear it for gay marriage or just something that everyone would clap at and be like, I love Hitler. Now you don't know what to do, you know.
By the way, I now feel guilty for calling a girl a bitch. And when I say bitch, I mean...
No, you should. You should.
Fuck that cunt.
No. You know what? You said your opinion, and now it's out there.
Well, yeah. But I'm not misogynistic or anything. I love women. I love the concept.
Don't backpedal. You're going to run into a fucking cactus up your butt. Stupid.
Wow.
Yeah, so Amsterdam Cafe, that's where we both... I think it's fair to say we both bombed in front of each other, right? I mean, that's a rough fucking room.
Yeah.
And I'm not complaining about the room, but I am, though. But it's like no one...
Well,
I think everyone bombs.
Well, the Amsterdam is kind of a weird atmosphere in that, first of all, the Tuesday show, I don't know if it's because it's hosted by a black comedian, Jackson McQueen, but it's like 90% black.
Jackson McQueen is a black man? You're out of your mind. He's not a Jewish guy? Jackson McQueen?
McQueenischwitz? Yeah, he's got two last names. Both of them are the blackest names ever. But it's like 90% black on Tuesdays. And okay. I think I don't know how to make black people laugh.
Me neither.
I don't think I'm too whitewashed or something. I don't know what it is.
There's this thing called at Odessa Island Cafe.
I haven't been to that one.
There's something called the Empowerment Project. And it
sounds
like
a cult.
It's, well, no. You're empowering black people.
Oh, okay. Then it definitely is
so
a cult.
They do hip hop. They do slam poetry. They sing in front of each other a cappella. And they're stand-ups.
Yeah.
And so it's all black people, right?
Right.
And then I went to a couple times, and I just said, hey, can I get a spot? And they put me at the end, right? So it's like reverse affirmative action there, where the white people are at the back of the bus, you know?
Right.
And so then he gives me his cell phone number, the guy who runs it, Vaughn. And then he goes, oh, wait, not this week. I put you on for next week. So I'm like, can I get fourth, like the perfect slot?
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, I want to go up fourth, and I'm telling him weeks in advance, so he has to give it to me.
Right.
And then when it comes to be the time, he texts me the Thursday, like, oh yeah, the Empowerment Project's not happening anymore, we're not doing it anymore.
What?
Or are you saying that, so I won't come down there
right.
and see a bunch of black people.
A bunch of empowered black people.
Unbelievable.
If I come down there and I see anybody being empowered,
I'm gonna...
So, God help me. I'm
gonna drag you down again. I'm the white man. That's my job. I'm gonna ruin this.
I was concerned where that was gonna go when you said, I'm gonna... I pictured rope.
You're gonna take these streets back.
Yeah, but that room is interesting, though. The Amsterdam Cafe is last time I went there, there was a guy on a piano on stage, because it's also an open mic technically for music, but I never see people play music there. But this guy, right. This guy was playing music on this electronic piano thing or whatever, keyboard thing. And there was all this music happening that, you know, that was just playing. And I'm like, that can't be all him playing. And it wasn't, because every now and then he would stop playing anything and the music would keep going. But he had very subtle piano things playing. And I was just staring at this guy going, what the fuck? It's like very...
avant-garde.
Well, it was the music was all just kind of ambient music. Mm-hmm. Not ambient in that style. I just mean like... Mm-hmm. So supposed to be in the background type of thing. Like you barely notice it. But like the shit he was playing to that music was even more quiet than the music that was... Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just staring at this guy going, what is he doing up there? Why are we all here watching this guy? It was weird.
Yeah, that's the thing about comedians. When a comedian's on stage, every second that person is on stage, he's trying to make those people laugh.
Right.
And if he doesn't make those laugh, he's a failure. Now, you have avant-garde people who are doing experimental theater who, like, there's just a guy who, like, puts a firecracker up his ass and a cheese hat with, a weird soundtrack, and then a boy just in, like, you know, 18th century clothes walks onto the stage and just goes, butt plugs, cheese balls, and then walks off,
yeah.
And then, you know, it gets a review like, wow, this was so brave. You know?
Yeah.
You're doing nothing up there.
Yeah,
if it's experimental theater, what results have you yield from your fucking experiment? That a cheese hat gets fucking moldy after 6 days of shows?
Yeah, that's...
And it melts under the lights? You guys are all assholes and idiots, and you're pretending that the emperor has clothes and anyone's entertained by anything that you've done. Or learn anything. You're all stupid.
That shit goes so over I don't get that stuff at all. Like, I just heard about at MoCA, the Museum of Something Art.
Okay.
Or MoMA.
MoMA.
One of those.
Tilda Swinton.
Yes, Tilda Swinton.
Slept in a box.
It was an art piece or a performance art, right, or whatever it was. I'm like, she's just taking a nap on a bed in a glass box.
No, that's an aging actress doing a PR stunt because I'm artistic.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
She probably took her tits out at like 2 a.m. when no one was around.
It's not much to see, but yeah, all right.
She just, you know.
She's got the body and face and everything of Conan O'Brien. That's really what she looks like.
I don't know. I think Tilda Swinton's pretty hot. I think I'd fuck her at 52.
I totally fuck Conan O'Brien.
Well, for a job in this economy, you kind of have to.
I know, right?
Here's what I want to talk about. There was an experiment one time where a mouse had an electrode hooked to his brain. And every time he hit that button, he just felt pure pleasure.
Hmm.
That mouse body felt pure pleasure. The mouse, predictably, didn't eat, didn't sleep, didn't drink, and died.
From starvation, probably.
From starvation and dehydration.
Yeah.
Because it hit this button 600,000 times. My brother was hospitalized with dehydration.
Oh, no.
Because he got a girlfriend recently.
Oh, no. The girlfriend was his button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when two horny teenagers are together, they just hit each other's pleasure button until one of them has to go to the hospital and have fluids put up.
Oh, my God.
In a syringe, put a needle in his arm to get fluids back in his
fucking face. Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Your brother went...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What? Because all he was doing was just fucking? Presumably?
You said it. You said it.
That's fascinating.
Let's move on. Joan Petraeus, former head of the CIA.
Oh, man.
He was, you know, he had to retire.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was doing, like, drone missile killings and, like, just shredding the Constitution by the guy who gave information to WikiLeaks doing his constitutional right of having a voice is now being tortured around the clock. He had an extramarital affair. Uh-oh, he saw some titties that weren't his wife's. Ooh. That's important to anybody except him and his fucking wife. So, oh, what a disgraced person that, you know, he thought that a journalist was sexy as fuck, which he was.
Yeah.
And he was the head of the CIA.
I don't keep up with a lot of news things, but I did hear about this. There was a book, right? And somebody wrote a book.
Who cares? The end of the book is she sucked his wiener. You don't have to read the fucking book.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
She sucked his wiener.
Yeah, of a mass-killing psychopath. What's important is that he had an extramarital affair.
Yeah, it goes back to, like, Bill Clinton and his whole thing. Like,
yeah.
Bill Clinton got his dick sucked in the Oval Office by some fat chick.
Yeah.
And he almost got fucking fired from being president.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a major dick sucking.
It's ridiculous.
It's just a blowjob. It's
so stupid. It all comes from this, like, religion. It all comes from there's the still enough the puritanical
bullshit that this country is founded on.
Yeah, he liked having his nap sauce sucked out. You know why? Because he's president and he fucking can.
Dude, and blowjobs aren't even that great. Like,
what are you talking about?
Don't get me wrong. I love a good blowjob.
Yeah.
But I mean, is a blow? It's not that big of a fucking deal, is what I mean. Blowjob's what, third base?
Yep.
He didn't even get fucking pussy. He didn't get any chubby pussy in that Oval Office.
Yeah, you know why? He's the president. He's gonna sit back, and you're gonna work for him.
Yeah.
And he's gonna blow it all over your dress. And he's gonna spit in your mouth and call you a good girl.
But so that's my point. Is like,
and he's gonna say, "Keep the change, whore." He's gonna
sweetheart. I think he called her sweetheart.
He's gonna turn around. He's got fart in her face. You know why he's the fucking president? He's got the launch codes.
Most powerful man in the world.
Yeah.
Is that still true, by the way? Because that was a big thing.
No way that the president is actually the president. I'm glad you brought this up. Obama is not a real person. You know what he is? He's a PR person.
Yeah.
And I will prove it to you.
Well, he's good looking.
Obama is not a real person. You think that Obama is a real person with his own ideas that get legislated?
No.
No, he's a fucking PR guy.
Well,
and I can prove it.
Yeah.
Okay, so he was a community organizer. And you think a community organizer...
Also sounds like a cult, by the way.
Helping poor black people in ghettos.
Mm.
Then he grows up in Hawaii smoking weed.
Yeah.
Surfing. Then he's a community organizer. Then he goes to like Harvard Law School or whatever. And then teaches constitutional law. Actually went to Columbia Medical Law School. And
you're right. Obama's a Muslim, and he was raised in Ghana or some shit.
Okay, so he's a community organizer and
a
pot smoker. Right. I'm going to vote for that guy. He gets in office. You know what happens? He also likes drone murder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not a person. That's an amalgamation of people trying to leverage a black guy into fucking you in the ass without you noticing because the head of the fucking country is this charismatic black guy who has this noble past. But what he's actually doing is nothing good for the country.
Or the world, really.
He's not a person. We don't have choice in this country. If you want to buy soda, you have one choice. High fructose corn syrup. It's a different flavoring of high fructose corn syrup.
That's the one choice. Because that's all I drink.
Coke is delicious. But it's all high fructose corn, every single soda. If you look at every car, everyone has to use gasoline.
Yeah.
Because it's the most widely available vehicle. I mean, not everyone can spend 50 grand on a Tesla car, you know?
Right.
So we're not given choice is the problem. And any president that doesn't get to the top of the, you know, and know all this stuff and get briefed by the CIA on the fucking aliens and shit. You know, if a president gets into office and they don't go, we're all fucked. Everyone here is crazy. We have to kill a whole bunch of people who have been fucking us and are treasonous banker, you know, overlords.
Yeah.
Who, like, you know, look
well,
at...
I was going to say, I think by the time you get to the point of, like, maybe you're going to be president or not, you've been through the ringer of being brainwashed that whole, you know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
you've been indoctrinated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all in you now. Like, you're used to all of it. You're immune to all the bullshit that's, whatever.
And when you're talking about banks who, like, own the basis, like, there's a group of banks that own the basis of our money. Like, what our money is, what gives our money value is run by a bunch of foreign banks. This is the Federal Reserve.
Right.
Okay, you think those motherfuckers who control the value of your money are going to let someone go in power who doesn't go with their program, their system that they've created?
Illuminati, bro. Huh.
You think that Obama is president without sucking off a white dude in a fucking hooded ceremony in a Masonic lodge somewhere? You're living in a fucking fantasy world. They have to make sure he's a good one.
9/11 was an inside job.
Dick Cheney has to test that good old boy out
they don't
before
call him.
He lets him run the country.
Here's the thing about me is I kind of don't care because I feel like we're fucked anyway. We're fucked no matter what.
That's how I think a lot of people feel, but I think you have to know the enemy.
What
exactly the enemy looks like.
Does it really make a difference? Or are you just fueling your own paranoia?
Oh, I'm on anxiety medication. That makes me extremely paranoid.
Right.
Look, I don't know if conspiracies are real. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I like them.
I'm reading a soap opera online going, right. What the fuck? This is definitely different than the information I'm getting from the TV.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
So I just, you compare the pair, like, it's almost like putting your mind in a certain frame. Like, you look at everything with, like, a conspiratorial lens. And There's enough, like, stuff where it's, like, more evidence than the Bible. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, the way I look at it is, like, from all angles, the vast majority of information you're getting is all bullshit.
Yeah.
So, I kind of just tune out, you know what I mean? I can't bring myself to care. It's like with religion, you know what I mean? Like, it's all this stuff that, who knows, there's no way to know any of it for sure.
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of like, ah, fuck it, I'm out. So, like, it kind of makes me just, like, deal with, like, the pressing matters of my life. Where's my next paycheck going to come from? When's the next time I'm going to get a hand job?
Right.
Which are not even as good as blowjobs.
Do you think that's culturally put on you, if these wants, you know, instead of, like...
Blowjobs?
I don't know what I'm saying.
You're saying that I've been indoctrinated into just wanting this kind of superficial shit and I should be looking deeper?
Is that well, yeah, just what do you think, like, the meaning of life is? Where do you go when you die? Do you ever think about that stuff?
You know what? I do think about that stuff. I was raised very Catholic, so I was raised to believe, you know, you got to be a good person on earth and that way you get into heaven, but I don't... there's no way to know. I don't buy it, though. I mean, I think I've kind of created my own. I mean, and I'm sure a lot of people have this theory too. Is like heaven or hell are here on earth now. You create it in the life that you what tiny little infinitesimal amount of time we have on this planet. You got to make the make of it what you can. And you know, I think you're either in heaven or in hell inside your own mind. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
Blow your mind a little
bit? No, that's fun.
I just think, like, if you're doing good things and you're being a good person and you're, you know, taking advantage of your time, you're in heaven here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
You're happy. You're, you know, you're, yeah. Whatever makes you happy, a wife and kids or fucking another dude, whatever it is. I don't give a shit what it is. As long as it's not murdering other people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Make heaven here on earth. Like, because I think you're dead, it's over. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Just rot in the ground and... I don't know. I don't think that there's such a thing as a spirit or a soul. I don't know. There's something.
I think that's the thing. That's what bothers me about religious people. Because whenever you're you have faith, you also have a little bit of doubt. It's like I think every faith will tell you, yeah, maybe sometimes you'll have some doubts or whatever. So that means you really don't know.
Right.
If you have any doubts at all, you don't really know. Every now and then you go, oh, maybe all of Christianity is bullshit.
Right.
Maybe all of Buddhism is bullshit and we're just dead in the ground or whatever.
Well, it's the same problem with, like, hardcore atheists. Is like them knowing that there's nothing out there or whatever. It's like, you can't know anything.
Right. I don't know. I kind of think that there's this weird pulse of, like...
energy or...
It's something that pushed that diversifies matter into, like... It's almost like when you build a house, you have a design in your consciousness of what a house should look like, and then you like manifest what a house is. What consciousness manifested this that we came from?
Right.
It's this pulse of making things ever more and more complex until it made humans, and then we came up, and then it shared with us that consciousness pulse that we can feel all together. When everyone like cries at the same time or laughs at the same time, it's like we all tap into this like pulse thing, but to personify that into a god or to write that into a set of rules and call it a religion is missing the point.
And also,
or like, I'm wrong about everything.
Well, yeah,
I don't know. Too.
Well, what I was going to say was, like, you know, I think it's kind of a bit of a conceit of human beings that, like, we are this, the we are the rulers of the earth. You know, we eat and kill whatever we want, and we own all this shit. But it's just because we have, like, this different consciousness than animals have. Like, you never think, like, oh, that boar I just killed, it's going to heaven. I killed it, it lived a noble life, and it's going to boar heaven or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what, so then what makes us, we're just also just animals. Why are we going to die and go to heaven or hell or whatever because of what we did?
Yeah.
It's only because we have the imagination to come up with this shit.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and anyone who's, like, butchered an animal can... It's, like, feasible to butcher a human, and then all your life is just into a human burger. And that's it. You can just, you are meat. That is fact.
Right, right.
So, what separates you from animals?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's interesting.
And another thought I had as you were talking earlier was, you know, we consider ourselves, like, these, like supreme beings sort of on this planet. But what about other civilizations on other planets that are, like, beyond light years ahead of us?
Yeah.
They must just look at us as just pieces of meat also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what about them? They must... I don't even know what they could possibly believe.
Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracies out there that, like, you know, the human... That they're allowed... The government says, okay, you can abduct, like, 30 people a year and do whatever experiments you need to do.
Right.
And then people are like, my ass got probed. And you're like, shut up, stupid. Maybe it did. I have no idea.
Or for all we know, all this is just a fucking... We're in the Matrix.
Yeah.
You know, we're all in a fucking simulation.
Plugged into a robot.
And it's actually the year 2300.
You don't know atheists. You don't know religious people.
Maybe when we're dreaming, what we're actually seeing is the real world as it's happening now. Because all our waking life is...
Are you high? I just want to get abducted so I can see if L. Ron Hubbard was right. That's my fear. I always have a nightmare that I get up to like I get abducted and like I come up in a DC-10 helicopter, like plane, like carrying an atom bomb going towards a volcano,
yeah.
And then I see Xenu like oh. All these like frozen alien souls are everywhere getting dropped into that volcano, and yeah. I'm on the plane with like a fucking geek orc, you know, and I'm like, oh wow, and he's like, have you been audited today? And he hands me two tin cans and he tells me like to cry or whatever,
take a personality
test. yeah, and it's like, oh shit, he nailed it, you know what I mean? Like, I'm worried about that.
You know, I would love it for somebody to absolutely know something like that and be right. Like, I would love it if there was really a guy named Jesus and he was really able to do miracles and there's really a heaven. But there's no way to know. I was kind of on a date, kind of, with a girl. And she was like, well, what religion are you? And I
say, so what kind of a date meant you paid for dinner and she didn't give you a hand job?
Exactly.
Okay.
and I said it really cheesy, but this is what came into my head was like, well, I'm kind of the religion of love. It sounded like a cheesy pickup line, but it really wasn't. I really kind of mean that.
Right, right, right.
Like, I think the most important part of any religion or any ideology is just like, fucking love each other.
Yeah.
Stop killing each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy.
Yeah.
I'm not killing you right now.
Right.
And I'm having a really easy time about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not stealing your money or coveting your wife
or
your bison.
And we're, like, technically in competition. We both have our own podcast. We're both doing stand-up. We're both trying to do the exact same thing.
And we're both taking up space in this room and on this planet.
And I'm drinking your water and you haven't murdered me.
Exactly. It's so easy to not kill
each other. But it's just like, you know what? Hey, we're in this fucking together, so let's do each other's podcast.
That's what it should be. That's what we should all...
Let's just be cool.
What happened with fucking solidarity with, you know, your fellow man or whatever?
Yeah.
Like,
you know. Although, I will say, anyone who's heard me on the Self-Indulgent podcast, I talk a lot of shit on that about a lot of people. And I'm totally not cool with everybody. I'm like a huge dick.
Oh, I fucking hate everybody, by the way.
Especially, and it's other comedians too, and I just talk like petty shit on them.
Especially those goddamn Jews.
It's fun though. Yeah, God, don't get me started on Jews. Hey, check out Mel Gibson has a podcast. You know about Mel Gibson's
podcast? Is that true?
Yeah, it's called The Jews Plan 9/11 and Other Constitutional Facts. It's way out there, but he's got a lot of good ideas.
Oh.
A teen with cancer, a girl.
Yeah.
She's like 17. She's in a hospital cancer bed.
Yeah.
She wanted to go to her prom.
Oh.
So everyone else is trying to, like, you know, boner dance for the first time. Finally, you're in a, like, a formal dance setting amongst other people.
You get to stay out all night.
You have your hot 16-year-old girlfriend.
Yeah.
The grinding music starts playing. This is your opportunity to boner dance.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Rub your dick all over the butt of your prom date.
My favorite
and then
dance.
Go, guh, 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 and then come once. So it'll be easier to last later during the actual sex.
You got
to
empty the chamber.
During the awkward sex, you don't want to put it in and then explode.
Oh, yeah.
You want to at least get 4 pumps in.
How'd you do your first time?
It's pretty much like that. No. No, my first time was fucking awesome.
Was it?
It was so great.
How long did you go?
Well, how long did that last?
Yeah.
Like a long process. Like the hymen was like a kind of issue.
Oh,
you know?
It was
like a medical procedure busting that motherfucker.
Scalpel.
It was like a lot of pain and time and slowness and bleeding. And...
See, my first time was with a non-virgin.
Oh, yeah?
So she wasn't going to get thrown in any volcanoes or anything.
Oh,
like
okay.
That. And
an alien.
Yeah, to appease the Lord Xenu or whatever. And I put a bag on it.
Yeah.
Had to bag it up.
Sure.
And I think I went a good like 15-20 minutes.
Wow.
I thought it was pretty good.
I don't remember exactly how long it lasted after we got going.
Yeah.
But just like the fact, here's the thing, every guy has this. The fact that it was like painful.
Nice.
I wasn't too upset.
Yeah.
I like acted like I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was kind of like, yeah, I did that.
That was a real high five.
I did that.
We just high five for real. I always like to point out when you high five for real.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people can't see it.
So you're boner dancing for the first time at prom. You know what you're hearing in the background? Beep. Beep. I'm in terrible pain.
Oh, no.
This cancer is eating me from the inside.
My cancer hurts.
Ow. I agree. Yeah, maybe it's on your short bucket list. Maybe this is unpopular. Why are you ruining prom for everyone else?
Yeah.
Everyone else is trying to get a half chub going and boner dancing.
Yeah.
And you're in there, people look at, maybe it would help for like length, like we were talking about. Like every time you get too excited, you look over her at her and she's like, ow!
It's better than thinking of, you know, smashed kittens or grandma's face or something.
That is normally what guys do.
That's what I go for.
Just like nom footage of just your baby getting cut in half.
Oh, yeah.
Just anything. Let this go longer.
I think of my mom running in slow motion. That's what I... Like Baywatch style.
Yeah.
Mom? Why are you wearing a one-piece red bikini?
There was literally a time when I got like maybe my third blowjob.
Yeah.
Where we were like making out and heavy petting.
Mm-hmm.
The second she put it in her mouth, I came. The second.
Wow.
Just looking at it happening. But, you know, she was rubbing me for a while.
Right.
And I was, like, ready to, like, launch my fucking yogurt sauce across the room, like, at the first second we were, you know,
in that pretty little engaged. 16-year-old mouth.
Oh, my God.
Mm, beautiful thing.
Oh, my God. No, actually, I was statutorily raped. I was 17. She was 18.
Oh, look at that.
Look at that. That narrows it down.
Well.
Look, so teen...
Call the authorities.
...went to her prom.
Yeah. How easy do you think...
Sorry. That was her bucket list. Go on.
I was going to say, how easy do you think it'd be to, you know, if the girl in the hospital bed is your date?
Right.
You going to bang her or no?
That's the thing. It's like, what else is on your bucket list, bitch? I might get a radioactive dick because of this, but listen, I got a bucket list too.
I got a fucking
one
list.
One of us is fucking a girl to death.
With my dick. Dude, I mean, she's going to die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's at prom. Those are two things that equal fucking.
Yeah.
If you're about to die...
Dude, you are riddled with cancer. Are you going to say... You know, you got to knock that shit around. Maybe you'll knock a tumor loose and she'll be better. I'm no doctor.
Maybe you'll make one of those
tumors... But I always tell girls that my dick is going to fix what ails them.
Maybe you'll knock one of those tumors in her brain into like a spider thing and she'll turn into like John Travolta and Phenomenon and fucking, you know, float shit with her mind.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, baby, my dick will make you telepathic. You know what I'm saying?
It sounds like a comic book series. Like, she got cancer. She got the radioactive treatment. She got fucked in the mouth the right way. Knocked her tumor into her psychic third eye.
Right.
All of a sudden, her tumor's growing, so is her psychic ability. already written.
Yeah, it writes itself, really.
This is going to be on Fox.
I'm pretty sure, oh God, what's the girl's name? Jessica Chastain can play her in a movie. I'm already casting it, you know what I mean?
Jessica Chastain? That's where I like to
But here's what I was going to say is, about to die equals dick or pussy, right? Prom equals getting laid.
Combine
both of those things, there's no way to not get laid. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you're about to die.
Yeah.
Dude, if the dad is like, no, you know, she's too young, you're a douchebag.
Yeah, it's like not letting a 90-year-old person
have sex. Is 14. But, like, let a 14-year-old guy go, like, I'll do it.
At least finger blast her.
I remember when I was, like, 14, I've probably talked about this on the podcast before, being so horny that I was angry at God. Because I was still Catholic, right? And sex was like all sinful, right? In that mind frame, when you're wearing those glasses of that stupid fucking religion, all sex is sinful. I was ashamed of my body. Right. But I said, God, why did you give me this body? Which, and I also heard the fact that every one man can impregnate every single woman on the planet in a lifetime. Why is that necessary, God, I feel drugged on my own dick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
What are you doing to me?
Oh my God.
And then say no.
Yeah.
Bad.
Look but don't touch.
Don't touch your fun stick that feels really great and that you can't stop thinking about every 5 seconds.
Oh God. Isn't it bad enough that supposedly you're not allowed to have sex, but to not even be able to touch it yourself?
Unbelievable.
Come on, it's right there.
Unbelievable.
It feels amazing.
And if you can abstain from this, you feel like a good person.
Oh, it's so stupid. You know,
ridiculous.
Every time I would beat off when I was like 12 or 13 or whatever, I would like feel so fucking, I would pray to God, like, please, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again.
Let me, it's been 1 week. If you could go a week, then you would like shoot the fucking lampshade off your thing, like coat the side of your wall, and then sleep for 3 days.
I can't go
if
a week.
You could handle it.
I can't go a week now. And I'm
30. Yeah, me neither.
I'm 30 years old.
I'm 27. There's no, I couldn't go a week.
I'm a grown man.
Why would I?
They're stupid.
It's a medical procedure.
It's my
dick. You have your fucking, you know, fruit roll ups and you beat off and then you go to work.
It's
whatever.
Physiological. We need it.
Yeah.
Something my girlfriend has a hard time understanding. Mm-hmm. But like, why do you do it? Why can't we just make love? I'm like, well, why can't we do both?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Do you want to deal with the level of loads I'm going to throw at you? If you're ready to handle the schedule that I can slide under your door, that would keep me satisfied.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm kind of a one-a-day.
It's like, you know, yeah, let's make this happen.
Are we going to fuck every day?
Yeah.
No.
If you can make that promise in a contract.
I don't even want to fuck every day.
Dude, I want my prenup to have all kinds of sex clauses. Because I was in a relationship with a girl, turned it off so bad. And it, like, made me feel, like, horrible.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, to think that you can get in a marriage with someone, and then if they stop fucking you, and then it's, like, well, if you cheat on them, they can get all your money.
Right. You broke the contract.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
But they can turn that off. And that's not, like, allowed in court.
It really should be in the contract. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
At least 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Forever.
There's got to be all kinds of anal clauses. Glory hole. Costume.
Anal clauses sounds like some kind of venereal disease.
The anal... Yeah. I want to see a punk band called the Anal Clause.
Hey, how you doing with the anal clauses?
We're going to blow out your pipes. That just tells all the groupies like what their fucking clause is.
Right.
Look, it's in my rider, bitch. Bend over. I get anal.
Of course, it's a British
with
band.
The town hoa. We're anal clause. I get blue anal M&Ms and fucking Ashek.
It's in my rider. Speaking of riders, why don't you ride my dick with your asshole?
Classy. Fucking people from Liverpool are monsters. Every single one of them.
Isn't that where all the Beatles were from?
Emilio, I got some news stories here.
Yeah.
This one comes all the way from Nepal.
Nepal.
A Nepali man was bitten by a cobra and then bit it back and killed it.
Yeah, take that, cobra.
I could have killed it with a stick, but I bit it with my teeth instead, because I was angry, said the 55-year-old man. 55-year-old men in America are so fucking pussy.
Oh, my God.
They would never bite a snake in the face to kill it.
I will go to the hospital for a splinter. I wouldn't think of biting a tree just because, you know.
Yeah.
That's insane. And I love the way you read it. It almost sounded like a doctor's... Yeah, what was the line he said?
I could have killed it with a stick.
I could have killed it with my dick. I don't know.
yeah. But I bit it with my teeth instead because I was angry. He doesn't say there because I'm insane and don't want to keep like a distance from me and a poisonous snake that just bit me. And then he probably just walked home. It says nothing about him getting the vaccine. He says he's fine. That guy's the interview.
That guy's played way too much Metal Gear Solid.
He's got fucking snake venom for blood. Okay, this is a really close to my heart.
Yeah.
I used to live in New York City. Go Topless Day in New York seeks equal rights to bare chests. So what happens is, all these female activists just gathered in Bryant Park, took their titties out, and went, you can do this. You know why you can do this? Men are allowed to wear nothing. But here's the thing about it. So they had to gather to like bring awareness to the fact that it's legal for them to do this. So they all get together and take their tops off and go, you can do this, women.
Yeah.
And then they go inside and put their tops on and then don't run around with their titties. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a rape and stuff.
I couldn't possibly agree more with these ladies. I think everyone needs to have their tops off more often.
Yeah.
I love boobs.
Here's the thing. That's a very controversial stance. I weigh that.
Can I just go out on a limb and say I love boobs?
I think everyone agrees with that.
I also like food and the internet.
These are very controversial opinions, okay? I don't want them being aired on my podcast, please.
Oh, sorry.
Keep your politics to yourself, your loony conspiracies. I don't want to hear them. Here's the thing. In New York, if you want to open a titty bar, you get a tit license.
Yeah.
Like an erotic, you know, feel guilty about sex and boobies license.
More of that puritanical bullshit.
Because then it's like, oh well, if I don't have to charge you like a mobster for this license, this expensive license you got to renew every year. Every Hooters is going to have their tits out. Cafes are going to have their tits out. You know why? It's going to increase sales.
Yeah,
and it would. But you're allowed to get titties on the street for free, and it's legal to do. But then as soon as they're inside, that you need to legislate your tits.
I just know that...
Ridiculous.
I would definitely pay upwards of $10 a cup of coffee at Starbucks for some titties.
Hell yeah.
Right?
If she fucking... If you go, can I get some creamer? And she just squirts it at your face. Do you know how much... Do you know how great that would make my day?
Oh my God. Slow down. speaking my language.
So, here's a weird study here. It just says, testosterone increases honesty, study says. Meaning, women lie. That's another way to put it. But then I actually read the article, which was exhausting, because I'm stoned all the time.
And reading sucks.
So basically, they had two groups of women, of men. And they had two groups of men. They gave one a placebo, and they gave the other, like, male hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Testosterone hormones.
Yeah.
And then they found that the testosterone made them more sociable, great guys, their health increased, and they didn't lie anymore.
Yeah.
And the guys that were getting, like, a sugar pill, you know.
Normal.
I guess.
Yeah.
Everyone was better with the testosterone.
Huh.
Leads one to believe that women lie. Okay, that's the conclusion of that study. genetically engineered cow makes anti-allergy milk. What do you think about this? Like genetically altering your beef to get a hypoallergenic milk?
Well, first of all, I've been hearing a lot about this. All this talk about GMO food,
okay,
genetically modified food. I kind of don't care. I'm not of this like this whole like organic and raw food movement happening lately, and a lot of people are bitching like, "Well, I need a label to tell me that this tomato has been genetically modified." It's like, I don't know, just fucking eat it. It tastes the same, doesn't it? We're all gonna die of something anyway. That's my theory. Like, everything fucking gives you cancer nowadays. Yeah. Everything's bad for you.
It's
one day Tylenol is good for you, the next day it's bad for you. I mean, who gives a shit? If you can genetically modify something to, like, you know, cure something, I don't know. Why not?
Yeah, and I think that this... a lot of food people go, well, you know, there's a lot of hungry people in the world. So if we genetically modify this corn so it'll grow and feed hungry Africans, then, you know, that's just food science. You just,
well, that's a good thing.
Some of it, you just pick the plant that grows the best grapes. You pick the plant that grows. Is that genetic engineering? Or yeah, when you put it in a beaker and you, you know.
Or what about, like, I own a pug that you met recently.
Yeah.
That is an animal that's been genetically modified throughout generations to look the way it does now.
To be adorable.
To be adorable and mostly useless.
Yeah.
In every way. It can barely breathe. It's, you know what I mean? Its sense of smell is shit.
Uh-huh.
Its eyes are pointing in different directions. But it's adorable.
Yeah.
I'm for genetic modification. Why not?
Are you for ethnic cleansings? Because the debate always goes there. It goes, if this science means that you can make the best of this with genetically modifying things, then why not turn that science to people?
Like Gattaca.
I guess so.
That movie Gattaca, that's what it's about, right? It's you can make your babies to be genetically, quote-unquote, perfect. I mean, yeah, let's do it.
Are you gonna,
I want to have a blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby to make it easier for him in this world to succeed.
Gives a new meaning to giving your wife a cum shot. It's like they gave her a shot of you know,
someone else's
perfect cum.
Oh, yeah, perfect cum.
I don't know.
That's the perfect cum shot.
Like, doctor, you shouldn't have sprayed it all over her face.
That's useless.
He's like, it's America. I can do what I want.
And of course, it's an Indian doctor.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that the genetically modified thing, obviously Monsanto is an evil corporation, if you look at what they're doing.
Yeah.
And the fact that they use genetically modified things so that they can patent plants. They can go, this is my plant. I've patented this. Yeah. I don't think that should be legal.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. I think that if there was free energy devices, I always think about this, like a free energy skyscraper that, like, gets with, like, hydroponically grown organic plants.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my utopia. So if we're not going to get close to that, we're pumping pesticides into genetically modified food, and who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
That's kind of where we're at.
Well, here's another thing that bothers me about this story is the whole allergy thing.
Right.
Everyone's got fucking allergies to everything now.
Yeah.
By the way, every single time I eat bananas, I feel a weird tingle in my throat, and it feel.
You shouldn't, like, put gag on it, though. Like, the way you go after a banana is you just shove the whole thing in your mouth and start gagging.
That does contribute to the tingling. Every time I eat avocados or strawberries, like, my mouth tingles. Okay, maybe I'm a little allergic to these things. Am I going to fucking completely puss out and not eat this bullshit anymore? No.
You can't puss out from gagging on a banana.
That's my favorite pastime, gagging on bananas and other phallic objects.
No, you can't pass that up.
I just mean, like, you know, in 20 years, because it's getting worse and worse, if a kid tells his mom, this banana makes my mouth feel funny, that kid's going to the hospital immediately.
Well, he probably has, like, daddy issues.
He's
probably molested. I would ask the priest about that.
Mommy, these two cherries are making my mouth feel funny too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're making me feel about a hat being put on my head to cover to obstruct the face of a bishop fucking me in the mouth. Arizona drifter jailed for skinning cat wearing tail. I don't know why you gotta jail a guy. So basically this Arizona drifter, this is from, I don't know, this happened in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Drifter. Skinned a cat, wore its tail and entered around his neck. And he was just like walking down the highway, hitchhiking. Probably shouldn't wear the innards of a cat when you're trying to get picked up for a ride.
Yeah.
It's like, hey man, how about you like don't like gunk up my car with like cat innards? I don't think I'm going to pick you up right now.
Let's be fair to this guy. He's a drifter, not a necessarily college graduate.
Yeah.
By the way, how do you get that job? I want to be a drifter.
I don't think it's like something you punch in and punch out of.
What's the education necessary to? I want to, like, it sounds so easy.
You have to jump on trains. No, like.
Are they still doing the thing with the little rag that's holding all your things on a stick?
Of course.
A hobo stick?
Yeah.
I'm going to carry around a hobo.
That's a uniform. When you walk out of your house and you go, Mom, I'm going to go be a drifter, someone hands you that.
They give you a stovepipe hat with the lid missing, right? It's flapping off. And the little stick with the thing on it.
And they give you, and they roll up a mattress for you to sleep in.
And some fingerless gloves. You're good to go.
What is with the fingerless gloves?
What is the point of fingerless gloves?
If it's cold out, you should have like some fingers on your gloves.
You know, I had
barrel fires.
I had a friend in high school give me shit because whenever it was really cold, I would wear a sweater but shorts. Mm-hmm. I think I commiserate with the fingerless gloves, is what I'm saying. I understand. Not all of you is cold all the time.
You want your legs to be ventilated.
Mm-hmm. I like a little air to get to my balls.
Why is the government getting involved?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Gay marriage and guns. I already did that bit, right?
Well, we talked about it on my show.
Oh, I blew. That was my best shit. I also have...
Pawkward.
Pawkward. Yeah, check out my appearance on Pawkward. That's episode 42.
P-O-D-K-W-A-R-D.
Go to ericollerbach.com. And if you go to the appearances part of ericollerbach.com, I posted it every time I've been on someone else's podcast. Yep. So when those links come out, go there. And if you can't get enough of Highway Diaries, you're like, I want more Eric Collerbach thoughts in my head.
Yes.
Check out my past special appearances.
One of which is Pawkward.
One of which is Pawkward.
Which will be out probably around the same time as this episode.
This one is coming out April 9th.
Mine will be out probably before that.
I also wrote down the words bankroll, and I have no idea what that means.
I was in a movie called Bankroll.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Did you want to ask me about that?
I did want to ask you about that.
Yeah, so it's a feature film that we shot last year. I'm one of the stars of it. It's way below low budget. It's zero budget movie.
Yeah, that's great though, man.
Yeah, no, it was exciting. It was my first feature film, like my first starring role in a feature film.
How did you put it together?
Well, I didn't. I was just one of the actors in it.
Okay.
But the guys, it's kind of a funny way that they made the movie. They found people on Craigslist. And, like, I think I submitted on, like, LA Casting, just, like, the normal avenues. And I get a call one day saying, hey, I saw that you submitted for this thing on LA Casting. I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, you got the part. I didn't audition or anything.
Whoa.
Just like that. And it was just for a trailer. Mm-hmm. So we shot a trailer.
To raise money for a movie.
Yeah, kind of. Well, mostly, I don't know, because, yeah, I guess the idea was they were going to raise money. They shot the trailer and then they put it up on, like, Indiegogo or one of those.
Uh-huh.
Kickstarter or something. But then it didn't work out. They didn't raise enough money that they needed or whatever. So they ended up just kind of revamping the script a little, making it a little more low budge. All in all, they made the movie for like $700. Mm-hmm. And most of that went into, well, they borrowed a really expensive camera. Mm-hmm. And most of the movie's budget was just feeding us. You know, they gave us like Boston Market or Chipotle every
day. Oh my God, Boston Market. I'm going to have to get that on my way home now.
Are you a fan?
Oh my God.
It's pretty yummy.
The chicken is ridiculous.
The chicken is really good, but I don't know what the hell happened that day. I ate Boston Market, and by the end of the night, I was having to run to the toilet every couple minutes. I had the shits really bad.
Yeah. Your colon gets baptized with shit, but what you get out of it is the most delicious chicken in the world.
I love how it's like, oh yeah, I love Boston Market. Yeah, but it gave me diarrhea. Yeah. That's part of it.
It's great. No, you ride the full roller coaster.
Ride the snake, bro. Ride the shit snake.
Dude, it feels great. It's like laxative.
Yeah, like I feel
it
cleansed.
Tastes so good.
Speaking of ethnic cleansing.
So, Bankroll.
yeah, so it's basically a movie.
And you were in a festival.
I was we've been in a few festivals. We won a couple awards at the Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival. We won like People's Choice and we won Best Dramatic Feature, which is funny because it's not a super dramatic movie. In fact, all the scenes that I'm in are kind of comedic. Like, mm-hmm. The scenes I'm in are mostly about, like, weird sex positions and fucking and, like, you know, whatever, shit like that. But we won Best Dramatic Feature and a couple, you know, a bunch of other awards here and there. And the movie now, I don't even know if I should say this, but who cares? It's going to be released on Blu-ray and DVD and video on demand by September.
Wow, yeah, congratulations.
So, yeah, I got, like, a bit of, thank you, I got a distribution deal.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
From this company called Cinema Epoch. Mm-hmm. They really love the movie, and apparently they're going to be funding these guys' next movie, too, so good for
them.
That's
unbelievable.
Yeah,
congratulations.
And we're all going to be making, I don't know, a little bit of money out of this deal or whatever, so.
Hey, for $700, if you get a deal, man, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to remind everyone that on 420, Damien Shadows is going to be up on Funny or Die, so check that out. That's my web series. Also, probably January 2014, I have another web series coming out called Here Comes Godot. We talked a little bit about that in another podcast. And I'm playing Flappers, Yoohoo Room, 9:30, April 6th. Saturday, April 6th. Tickets are $10. I can get you in for $5. Message me on fucking Facebook.
Yeah. Hey, I've got a show the next day after that, April 7th, 9 p.m. at Flappers. And same deal applies. I can get cheaper tickets, too.
Cool.
Yeah.
support some fucking comedy, man. We are just starting out.
Just a couple months in.
Busting our ass.
Yeah.
We're already getting booked for shit. Things are happening.
We're really good.
But if you think that we're going to keep on getting ass backed without people from this podcast coming out to support us,
you're fucking stupid.
I'm putting you on the guilt trip to say, I've given you tons of free comedy, listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of you that I could point to in one room.
Don't, very small room. Don't Bruce Willis it and pay it forward. Pay it back.
Pay it back.
Pay it back to us.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm at the top of this podcast pyramid, mm-hmm. and I need to receive worship.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
We're building a cult here. An army.
Something about volcanoes and aliens.
Shit. L. Ron Hubbard got a lot of shit right.
Yo, son, that L. Ron Hubbard. You know what I'm saying? I named my kid L. Ron just for that motherfucker.
Emilio Rosal, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
My guest on Highway Diary.
Are we on?
Yeah, we're on. Highway Diary, what's going on? I'm sitting here with my roommate, Jody Barton.
Hi, can I talk about that, by the way?
What? Yeah.
I can?
What?
What, that your car smells?
What is it smelling?
Smells like weed.
I don't know, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's my roommate, Jody Barton. What's going on, man? We have a rabbit in the house.
We have a rabbit in the house.
You were just on the phone with a rabbit lady.
I was.
What's going on?
The rabbit lady said, we're fucked. That's her quote. That you're fucked. That you have a rabbit and that nobody else is going to want your rabbit. And then you either have to keep the rabbit or you have to kill the rabbit.
What is the state? Kill the rabbit.
I'm paraphrasing.
What is the state of her house? She has two rabbits, right?
She has two rabbits.
What's the state of it?
It is chewed to pieces. Everything below a foot and below is apparently in rubble.
Okay. So why can't you, like, put it in a cage in the backyard where it shits, and every time it shits, it goes down through the grate, and then it has a little house?
You mean, like, where we put the other roommates? In the cage so they can shit there when they cause problems.
That stuff's not legal, man. Let's keep that off record.
Sorry. We're not taping it.
No. We'll have to do some careful editing here. Look, we have a rabbit. How did we acquire a rabbit in the house, and why is it in a cage or eaten?
The rabbit was acquired through humanitarian efforts.
Our
other roommates, Heather and Sergio, were walking, and apparently the bunny was attracted to them to follow them into the house and came in and was fantastic for a night. And then started dropping little brown pellets.
Because they were having a good... They went out to a nice dinner. They probably had a nice time. They were feeling good. And then, oh man, wow, a rabbit. Oh, it caps off our evening. Wow, this is so beautiful. Let me give it some of my leftovers. Oh, and from my leftovers box. It's like, it's loving it. It's probably eating chicken when it's a rabbit. That's like carnivorous. It's not supposed to do that, first of all. Second of all, oh, beautiful evening. But they realized they have a lot of animals in the house already. We have two dogs, two snakes, two cats.
Four humans.
And a partridge in a pear tree. And it's getting a little nutty taking care of all those animals.
You figure it would all work itself out. If we just all put them in the room together, the rabbits and the dogs and the cats and the snakes, and then we can figure out after maybe a week who's deserving of living in the house or not.
Who's going to survive.
Yeah, who wins the cage match.
Because the thing is, the snakes are pretty small. You might think, hey, give... But they couldn't take out the rabbit. But both of them, I don't know if they, over 4 days, if they would struggle to kill it.
These are two pythons.
Yeah.
So I think they could get that rabbit.
Yeah, but they're like pussy pythons. These pythons have been given like frozen mice. They haven't been, they're not out there. You know, they're not in the wild, like strangling shit to death.
That's a solid point.
Two of them on one rabbit. And do they work in harmony? Do they hunt like, you know, together like that?
Well, they're in their little cage together all the time, so you figure they do everything together.
They strategize.
You let them out.
But they're always fighting over the mice. They're not good. They're with teamwork. One would have to be like, okay, I'll lay across, I'll lay flat. When the rabbit goes by, I'll perk up my body. Then you jump on it and strangle its neck.
You think they communicate like that? Yeah. That clearly?
They talk like, hey, Joe, I'm going to crack him in the kneecaps. They're from the mob.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know Sergio got the snakes from the mob.
Well, that's not what he told me. So, and they have two cats in the backyard, two house dogs. Then I just don't understand why we decided to make... So then we said the bunny's going to have a litter box. Uh-huh. How's that going?
Well, we've got... Bunny has about 6 litter boxes. And the brown pellets, we got the bunny fixed, right? We thought it was a girl. We looked, and what we thought was a bunny vagina turned out not to be. So
a bunny vagina and a bunny penis are indistinguishable.
Apparently.
I remember one day you came to me with the bunny's genitalia, and you were opening it up, and you were going, "Hey, do you see a dick in there? Do you see a dick in there?"
I didn't know you were watching.
So. I was like, "Get that bunny out of my face! I'm just worried it's always going to spray me with some kind of shit pissed liquid, just like an aerosol can."
It felt and smelled like a vagina to me. I thought that's what it was. I didn't know. Apparently, it was a he. So he was dropping pellets to mark his territory, and then we went and took his balls away. And it literally took his balls away. And
so after he got neutered, he's a different rabbit.
He doesn't mark. He's scared of everything. He has become a vagina. We have taken his balls away, and he's become a vagina.
Okay, so and now he's pooping in his litter boxes. That's a
he
little
is,
better.
Yes. That behavioral problem has been remedied.
But, you know, he still has accidents every now and then. I'm not the biggest fan of poo, really.
You're not the biggest fan of rabbits, I don't think. Or of living things, maybe.
I made jokes that... Here's the thing, though, okay? Now, I said I will kill this rabbit.
Yes.
I have no problem killing this rabbit.
Yes.
The problem is Heather and Sergio got the rabbit under the circumstances of... Oh, what a perfect evening.
Uh-huh.
Oh, what a cute rabbit.
It was. It was like their end.
Let this go. We can't let him get hit by a truck. Why is it anyone else's responsibility? Look, I have respect for that rabbit. If that rabbit could be a city rabbit and, you know, not get hooked on smack and, you know, get a good job and stay clean and sober and live... You know, that's a success story.
So then you would support the rabbit. But we live in a pretty shitty neighborhood. And the rabbit lived outside on its own and survived and found people that it knew it could trust and would take care of it and found a home and you want to destroy them.
Okay, let me tell you something else, I think.
You bought seasoning, didn't you? I saw you bought seasoning for the rabbit, didn't you? I saw it in the pantry. You're already preparing the meal.
I'm going to make them covered in basil. What's wrong with that? It's going to be delicious.
Actually sounds really good.
But if I actually chop this thing's head off, then all of a sudden, you know, I don't think Heather and Sergio are going to be so
happy. Is that the kill plan?
Even if I kill it and cook it. I bet I could make a great, like, rabbit brain stew, but, you know, they wouldn't appreciate it. They'd be like, oh, this is, you know.
Are you going to use any other parts of the rabbit other than the brain? Or are you just going to do a brain
stew?
No,
well, I'm going to fuck the other parts of the rabbit's body, so that's not... Like, I can't serve that.
I thought this was a shared experience with your roommates. I didn't know you were going to be so selfish.
I'm
going to
hollow out that carcass. So no. That's for me.
I think I'm going to have to go in and have a talk with the bunny. Get him
about its mortality.
For what the future holds. Its brain will be cooked in stew and dead carcass will be fucked by
rape.
Hollerback.
Here's the thing about bestiality, okay? Now, they say you can't get consent from a horse. Like if, you know, there's this, you know, documentary called Zoo or something like that where these people... They, like, fuck horses.
Yes.
Right? And then there's these, like, hicks who are like, and then she just went down on the horse, and I was just so turned on. And then later on that same guy was like, yeah, and I like to watch her with the horse, and the horse also penetrates me anally. It bites my neck, and I have a big bleeding neck. And she's like, have you been messing around with the horse? Your neck's all bloody again. Because it likes to hold on to me with its teeth. Literally, that's what's going on. But here's the thing. You want that, you want consent. If the horse ejaculates, that's consent, my friend.
I don't think ejaculation is, equals consent. I don't think it does.
The way they were talking about it, too.
You can non-consent.
They were like saying
ejaculate.
The horse would trot in a certain way all fancy, and they were like, he wants it. That's the equivalent of him putting on some lingerie.
Are you suggesting that our rabbit has been flirting with you? Is that what you're saying? That our rabbit wants it? The Pope? That the Pope wants it?
I'm just saying, if I got the Pope off... Yeah, our rabbit's called the Pope. If I got the Pope off...
That it would be the Pope's fault because the Pope is wagging its little
bunny
tail around
the house. No, it's consent. Well, you think that the Pope has... No, yeah, the kids don't consent. I don't know where I'm going with this.
The kids don't consent. So if you don't get off, then you don't consent. Wait, is that your rule?
No.
So you gotta, if you come, then that's
yeah, if
consent.
The kids get off.
When you get...
especially if the Pope is like, you know, I know a good way to get to God, and then he pulls out his dick.
When the Pope gets the kids off.
Yeah.
It's
then it's consensual.
It's consensual. That's a Catholic
They've
doctrine.
They've consented.
That is doctrine. It's been in the tablets for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm. Hidden scrolls. Okay? You think the Pope doesn't have those hidden scrolls? Mm-hmm. You know, you think he doesn't have access to parts of the Bible that got edited out?
Yeah.
There's an administrative textbook and a textbook for kids. You know, in school, he's got the administrative version.
Like the answers in the back of the book thing.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going on a big tangent.
Yes,
here.
We did.
Jody Barton, you're an actor.
I am.
You used to be a lawyer.
I didn't think we were going to admit any of this stuff after all this conversation of
so you
rabbit
were,
and kid
you
fucking.
You were a lawyer in Austin, Texas.
I was.
And you were fighting for people who got caught by the system. And you were trying to make sure. I don't know what you did.
No, not really. Not
okay,
exactly.
What did you
what
do?
I did at all. No. But I did work as a lawyer and represent people who
were guilty of crimes.
No, I did.
Of passion.
I did civil rights litigation. So I defended people's constitutional and civil rights from specific violations. That's very boring and not funny or podcast.
Well, what is it? What does that
mean? That's what I did. I represented people in prison, say for example, who maybe died because of neglect of prison officials, and they have nobody there that will represent them, and so they come to us because we were nonprofit and grant funded and could represent them for free.
So you represented dead guys who died in jail?
Sometimes.
The estate?
The family, yes. Yes, the family, yes. Sometimes. Represented people with disabilities from various violations of the Americans with Disabilities Act. These sorts of things. See, this none of this. The problem is none of this is really as funny or has any humor to it at all.
So you were, but it's, you were fighting.
But that's what I did. That's what I was.
So
doing.
You were fighting for the good cause, and then,
and
somewhere along
funny.
The way, you got disillusioned, and you got a little acting bug up your butt, and it gave you hemorrhoids, and you got an itch. That itch got you on the Greyhound bus. You were itching, you were perking yourself up, and you were itching that acting butt hemorrhoid all the way to Los Angeles, and now you're here.
Yeah, none of that's true, except for the hemorrhoids. None of that is true at all.
That was the whole point of the topic, was the hemorrhoids. Go on.
I sold all my shit. I broke up with my girlfriend. I packed up my tiny little car and drove to Los Angeles.
Now, was your girlfriend an estate of a woman who died in prison, or was it an actual girlfriend?
No, I didn't earn her in any legal transaction. No, she was somebody who actually enjoyed spending time with me on her own for a while. But she was left behind. The job, which is a great job, was left behind. The city of Austin, Texas.
What happened? Were you behind. Were you in a community theater play, or what? What? How? What exposed you to acting that made you?
I was. I think this gentleman wants something from you. We're in Eric's car, by the way. Yeah, we already discussed this. It smells like weed, and a man in uniform is walking up to us.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. The other day, actually, hookers were, like, walking up and down the street yes. while I was recording with Steven. It was just, like, a hooker run. Yes.
I was wondering if it was Juanito or if it was Rico.
Oh.
Those are the two that I like.
Nice. Yeah, they said something about you. They come up a window.
Oh, was it mine? Was it mine? They do that all the time just to be funny. They'll cough some of my own cum on my window in the morning.
No, I think they just had an itch in their throat. So you came out to Los Angeles.
Anyway, I came back to Los Angeles. Or came to Los Angeles. Yeah, so I took an acting class in Austin, Texas, and immediately fell in love with it. And so one of the girls I was doing a scene with asked me if I was going to be moving to LA, and I hadn't thought about it. And I thought, I'm not married, I don't have kids, I don't have responsibilities, and this acting was unlike anything I'd done before, and so I came out here.
You did a movie, very controversial film.
Did.
Called Hate Crime.
Yes.
I've seen it.
Yes.
Tell me about how you got involved in Hate Crime.
Hate Crime came about through James Cullen Bressack, who is a young, up-and-coming filmmaker. He made a film called My Pure Joy, and then he cast me in one of his shorts called Unmindly Demise. And then he called me up one day and said, I have a script I want you to read, and please don't hate me after you read it. And it took him a month to finally send the fucking thing to me.
Uh-huh.
And I read it, and it was some of the most horrifying shit I'd ever read.
Now, James is young. He's like 20 right now.
James just turned 21.
He just turned 21. Yeah. And he is, having pitch meetings with the Sci-Fi Channel. He's hot.
Yeah.
But so his first thing, very daring, very, very young, prodigy kind of crazy director. Go on.
Yeah. 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 No, the film is the film you saw. The film is... Yeah. It's
brutal.
Yeah, and it's an experience that I think only is really only for some people, but for the people that it's for, it's quite a ride.
Can I say that I've also seen a movie called a Serbian film quite recently? That is a Serbian film is a little rapey, a little murderous, mm-hmm. and very visually disturbing. You see crazy shit in the movie, mm-hmm. a Serbian film. So I was ready. Hate Crime is like super brutal. You're just, can I say anything about the movie here?
Well, just maybe not plot stuff.
Well, you're just watching like a break-in and what it would actually look like if your family was held up by... insane people.
Yeah.
And it is, when you're watching it, it's super terrifying. Because you're like, it's very disorienting. You're watching all this extreme violence. And, but afterward, you really think about, like, you know, it's a learning experience. You kind of, by watching other people go through this horrifying experience of being held up, you kind of think about, okay, well, that's what that would look like, you know? It's almost like you learn from it without actually having to get murdered.
Yeah.
You just watch this movie.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a home invasion film. It's 72 minutes of just really of craziness. But I like, I think of it as it's a very realistic picture of a horrific act. And... I find value in showing that. I find value in doing a realistic portrayal of anything that exists in reality, and unfortunately this kind of shit does. And I play a really bad guy who does some really bad stuff in it. But it's an amazing film, and I'm really, really proud of it. But it is a film that is not for most people. So, most people aren't interested in the... You know, that kind of stuff.
Well, it's quite a ride
around the cars. This guy's just talking. Do you want this? We got to bring this guy in.
That guy's talking to himself.
He's got a lot of shit to say.
Whoa, he's walking. Obvious. He's like struck. Yeah. Oh, I think he's drunk.
I don't know if he's drunk.
Staggering.
Understand? It is 1 o'clock in the afternoon right now, so you might be drunk.
It's called Hate Crime.
Yes.
Doesn't it have a deal?
My publicist is going to be pissed if I don't push Hate Crime, so let's make sure we keep on Hate Crime. Okay, the book. Make sure you get the book that I wrote,
but what I
called
wanted,
Hate Crime.
Is there a website right now? How can people find us?
We are supposed to put the website up, and it hasn't been done. And now that you said that, I just realized we don't have a website up yet.
Okay.
We were supposed to. The answer is how to find Hate Crime.
Yes.
You can find, first of all, there are two Hate Crimes. There's a Hate Crime from 2007. That is not our movie.
That's not it.
Our movie is from 2012. There's a trailer online. We have a obviously our IMDb page. We have a Facebook fan page for Hate Crime. We just got distribution about a month ago. We're expecting to be on VOD in the next few weeks, and hopefully on Netflix and Redbox and other possible outlets this summer.
Yeah, and let me tell you something about Hate Crime. If Hate Crime gets onto Netflix, there's going to be a lot of people trying to ban Hate Crime from Netflix because the content is so ridiculous that when people, you know, in red states see this, they're going to lose their minds. Actually, you know what? I think the NRA, the gun movement, is going to actually love this movie.
Yeah.
Like, see, if all those people were armed, if the baby was armed, you know, everything would have been fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always better if you just arm the babies. It'll work out better.
But yeah, so yeah, you and James are doing a lot of stuff together, though. Yeah.
So yeah, oh yeah, we also just did To Jennifer, which is another film that we did.
To Jennifer.
Yeah, I'm not very good at promoting my stuff, if you can't tell. Can we talk about bunny fucking again?
Yeah, so I'm going to fuck the bunny's body.
All right. So To Jennifer is a film that I just did with James as well. It's another found footage film. It's shot on an iPhone 5. It's the first film ever shot on an iPhone. It's going to be distributed as an iPhone app, probably. I think we're still getting that stuff worked out. But it's a fun little film about a guy going cross country to confront his girlfriend with evidence that she's cheating on him.
I remember you came home a couple times and you were like, I was jumping over fucking barbed wire all day. It was fucking terrifying.
That's true, but that was for a different movie.
But oh,
okay. It's true, I did have to do that.
Oh,
but just
that
not in this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. James has got this guy doing all kinds of dangerous shit.
They don't
have money for stunts, so it's like, you're just like, hey, why don't you go jump over that bog with alligators in it?
Yeah.
I
have some shit I had to do in this movie, but I can't tell you about it because it would give away too much of what happens to my character in this movie.
So, To Jennifer and Hate Crime.
To Jennifer and Hate Crime. They will both be released probably around the same time because To Jennifer post is easy.
So. Let's talk about the rabbit a little more.
All right.
So, when we first got the rabbit, that we had a roommate meeting, and there was no one stepping up immediately to take direct ownership over the bunny. No one wanted to be like, I'm responsible for the bunny. Because when someone steps forward and says that, then anything that the bunny, say, chews through, that's the responsibility of the bearer of the bunny.
I don't know if your recollection of that is correct, is accurate.
What is my recollection of
it? When did we have a meeting? You said we had a meeting right after the bunny got there?
Yeah.
We had a meeting about a week after the bunny got there.
Okay.
And at that meeting...
How do you recollect it?
You specifically asked me the question, Jody, will you be responsible if the bunny were to fuck up any of my things?
Uh-huh.
And I said yes.
Uh-huh.
So that is kind of the opposite of the telling that you just gave. That meeting unless there was a meeting the day you got the bunny that I was not a part of.
I just don't understand why we can't just, like, let me chop up the bunny into a nice meal and eat it. I don't understand why we can't do that.
I think we should let your audience decide. We'll have a vote, which in the end will be the same as your roommates, because we're the only ones who listen to your podcast. So the four
of
us
will
decide.
Hey, I'll have you know, it's possible that 40 people could listen to this. That's possible.
It is possible. There are lots of possible, yes. Yes, it is possible,
boom.
I think. 40 people.
Is
it possible, 41? Is 41 possible? You're saying 40's possible,
I'm saying manage your expectations, sir.
All right. What about Bobby Slayton? It's okay. Bobby Slayton get more than me?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
I mean, he's been in the business for 65 years.
I haven't posted that one
years.
Yet. I don't know.
All right.
But I think that, I don't know, he might get it, pull a 50.
Does he still sound the same? He's still great. Do that?
Bobby Slayton's great. Yeah.
All right. That's a horrible Bobby Slayton impression. It's just me yelling with a gravelly accent.
But what's funny about Bobby Slayton is he's like, see, if I go in the, if I try to work out, my wife will bother me. If I try to write my book, my wife will bother me. If I work out, whatever, she'll bother me. So she knows, like, if you're coming, just have me over so that he can sit in a corner and talk for a minute without his wife coming, what are you doing? That's what he told me.
Your podcast was an escape from his wife.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I agree that he did. I'm like, he told me as soon as I walked in. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. It's so nice of you. He's like, listen, this is so I can get away from that yapping broad for an hour.
was this on the air? Was he allowed to... I mean, if you're a comic, you've got to be able to spit your shit out in the air, right?
Yeah, but that's what he told me when I... When I first came over, and then he also said it again on the air.
Oh, he did.
He wanted to make sure.
Yeah, he got that one in.
Like, it's almost like that's all he was thinking about. Yeah. So he just kept saying how miserable he was.
I don't understand how comics relationships survive.
Yeah.
Because that's all you hear from them, you know?
Yeah.
Them talking about how miserable their relationship is. Most of us in relationships, we get to hide it from each other. And so you never really know how miserable your partner is in the relationship. But with comics... You put it out there.
It's weird, yeah. And I have a joke now about an ex-girlfriend and stuff. And it's funny because someone who, like a friend of mine who knows my ex-girlfriend came to the show last night. And I was like, I can't do that joke now. I just feel way too fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's gotta suck.
But especially... if I put it on a CD... Yeah, maybe eventually it would work its way to her, but I can't stare at someone who knows her at the same, you know, it's too much.
What's the, the Doug Stanhope story about the Debbie something experience? He tells a long story about going to the baseball game with this girl who's the best lay he ever got.
Hottest
chick he ever got. And then 10 years later, she comes back to him and she's married. She's upset and she wants him to stop doing the joke. And Doug's response was, I don't do the joke anymore. It's 10 years old. You just hearing it because it's on old, CDs I did way back then. So it's not even like he's, it's an old joke for him anyway. But yeah, that shit I would imagine has to come up. For you guys, for comics.
But I don't say anybody's name though. Like he uses her real name. It's like the whole song is just saying her real name over and over again.
Yeah. That BMW almost ran right into us.
I know. What the fuck?
Assholes. What came first, BMW or the asshole? Chicken.
That's
in the
tough. All right.
We done?
Yeah.